Hives there on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais. Steve Merchant
is with you.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Sentences.
It's
and all
just
that.
Using the
well,
traditional
pointed,
English.
But
language.
You put me off. You pointed to yourself, and I just said Steve Merchant.
You know what? We know we do that every week. You introduce me.
Yeah.
You say with me, and I go Steve Merchant.
No, yeah.
So like, it's a catchphrase that everyone's waiting to hear it.
No, but usually I go Ricky Gervais, and you go with Steve Merchant. But this time you pointed to you, so I said it. But I didn't say it. It caught me off guard, so I didn't use the sentence.
Oh, I don't like the way you sit, right? I've read medically that if you're slouching like that, can you try and describe how you're sat? But you've got the kind of have you ever seen that picture of when John Lennon was off his head on Smack recording Let It Be, and he was lying on the floor at Abbey Road? That's basically what Ricky is like now.
I'm so scared.
It's not good for you, that. Look at the, you can't breathe properly in the diaphragm, no. So you're going to speak badly. Hey, listen, I was trying to speak medical stuff there. I was trying to run into trouble.
Rick,
what are the words to Wham Rap? What are the words to I don't remember Wham Rap.
What the hell's got into you? Hey, sucker. Now there's nothing you can do.
Brilliant. You look forward to a forthcoming revival of your music career.
Yeah.
Rick, I had some devastating news last night.
Go on.
You know when I left you, I was off to buy a PlayStation 2?
Yeah.
I was totally in the mood for it.
Or a PS2, as he said.
Yeah, yeah. Which confused him, granddad. Anyway, I think I went in, like, some electrical stop on Oxford Street.
Yeah.
And,
The thing about Steve is, I wouldn't say he's mean. He hates that. He's careful, right? And he will spend days to get a pound off.
Rick, two and a half hours I walked around last night. I swear to God, walking to different shops, right? I went from Oxford Street to Piccadilly Circus back again, along the length of Oxford Street back again, all over the place, right? I realised I basically couldn't get a better deal than about £240, right? For a console and a game. Right. So I ended up in Virgin Megastore, I bought a Auto Grand Theft 3 or whatever, and a PlayStation and a memory card or whatever. So I shoot off, and I'm walking off, and I'm going to the tube, and I walk all the way to HMV on opposite Bond Street.
Sure.
And I just popped in there because I'd forgotten to get something. And I went downstairs, and I was walking past the PlayStations, and it went, if you buy a PlayStation 2, you can get Grand Theft Auto 3 with £20 off.
Oh.
I was absolutely devastated.
What did you do?
I crumbled. I didn't know what to do. I was thinking of taking it back to Virgin Megastore, going, it's faulty. But like before, you haven't even got it home yet. Oh, I can tell.
No, I didn't mean to buy this, though. What did you buy? Keyboard.
Exactly. So the problem is, when I get it back and I wire it up and that, all I can see is the cars are racing around the track. All I'm thinking is, it's like one of those cartoons when a really hungry bloke could just see his mate as like a big chicken. All I could see on the TV was just a £20 note just floating. It was an absolute night. I'm just devastated by it. £20, I could have bought like another cheap game for that.
We went to did I tell you this?
Rick,
would
you give me £20 and then I'll shut up about it?
Yeah, we went to the casino once, a group of us. And I lost about £100, and it was someone's birthday. I think it was Jane's birthday. And Steve, after 3 hours of gambling, had lost the £20 he got out to play with. Right? And I was going, "You're really gutted, aren't you?" He just went, "Have you any idea how much cheese I could get for £20?"
Yeah, cold meats.
Yeah,
for £20, and there it is again last night. £20, I'm robbed of £20. Literally, they've taken it from my hand.
Yeah.
The HMV people.
I
they've
can't
taken
it.
That and they've.
I'm going to try and
away.
Think of some things to cheer you up. Should we play some songs? Avalanche is there. Frontier Psychiatrist.
I never enjoy any record where I think I or a 4-year-old could have made it. Do you know what I mean? It's just like it's cheating. It's musical cheating.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that one. We won't play that again then. All right?
Okay.
That's done.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice. Shake on it.
Yeah.
Lovely.
XFM 104.9.
Kiss on it.
Kiss on it. Touch on it.
Carl came in this morning and he said he was soaking wet because obviously it's miserable out. And actually, if you're thinking of leaving the house today and thus missing the show, do not leave because it's miserable out.
It's like a weather report as well. We play music, we've got chat, we've got little jokes, don't we?
But Carl came
and it's raining.
He said he was soaking wet.
Yeah.
I said to him, I said, Rick would want you to do it. I want you to do it.
Yeah.
Just take your clothes off. Pop them over there.
But do you know what?
And he wouldn't. And he said I was going to do it, but I knew you'd say that.
But when you left us in the kitchen when he was making coffee, he went, yeah, Steve said, if you're wet, take your trousers off. And I thought, hold on, Ricky's not here, what's he up to? thoughts.
No, yeah. I was talking on behalf of Rick. I phoned him up, I said, he's wet, what should I suggest?
Well, I said, I was in his ear, he had an earpiece, and I was going, tell him it's bad for him.
Yeah.
And I could hear him go, it's bad for you, and you go, well, no, I'm not. I go, no, tell him it could...
Rheumatism.
Yeah.
It could lead to rheumatism, take him off. Carl, Carl, speak. No one's heard your voice today. Come on, Carl. Come
he doesn't want to.
No, I know he doesn't. We won't talk to you much. All but
right. Gone.
It's just nice to say hello to you.
Yeah. Right. I think people quite like
they tune
to know
in
you're here.
You.
Yeah.
We've had some fan mail for
him. I like his little face, his little Moby. I drew a picture of him in the week, just doodling, and he got really insulted.
Did he?
Why did you get insulted?
Because it wasn't very good. I looked like Ian Canfield, or like.
What's an insult?
Yeah.
The ladies love Canfield.
Yeah.
I mean, they're weird kind of heavy metal ladies.
Yeah.
But
yeah. The ones that drink blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love Canfield. I thought of you look like today, but I think you might find it insulting as well. It's just meant to be affectionate. You look, for people who don't know what you look like, you look like Beaker at the Muppets.
I can't see how that would be an insult.
Ah! Oh, God. We don't know you put it like that. It is, but it's sort of like, I like Beaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you like him because he's a fool. He just goes, what did he say? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you look a bit like that doctor that used to accompany him everywhere, that professor.
Oh, yeah. A little fat little bloke. Yeah, that's nice.
Carl, what was it that you told me as well when you came in? Just Carl's thought for the day.
Okay.
Carl, what did you tell me when you came in? Because it was miserable out, and you so made a suggestion.
It is a grim day in London.
I like it already.
Brilliant. I was thinking, could you imagine dying today?
Go on, explain more though.
Just because when you're dying, you're always like in your bedroom, in your bed, and your family's next door.
Always, yeah.
And I just thought, can you imagine lying there, looking out your window? Because they do that as well, they sort of have the curtains open to get a bit of light on your face. And I just thought, what a day. If this was like your last day, could you imagine?
But they go on, you made another... you made another even more profound point. You said if instead of dying on a rainy day, you'd prefer to...
No, if you died on a bit of a nicer, sunny day, then it's not so bad. What no, it's your last day looking out on the world. Yeah. And look at it. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
I thought that was a beautiful point. It was poetic, almost.
It was, wasn't it?
Because, the point was that what upset me was that you said you'd been thinking about that today on the way in, and it upset you. But my point was that if you think about the people that are dying any day, it'll upset you.
Yeah.
Do you see?
Yeah, but you don't think about it when it's sunny, because you think, well, they'll be all right today. They won't be that annoyed.
You're absolutely
annoyed!
Right.
Annoyed! But today, yeah, think of that. I'm dying today.
It was just when I got up and opened the curtains and I thought, look at it.
I'm glad I'm not dying today.
Mm. Yeah.
Carl, play a song.
You're interesting. Mull Historical Society, watching Xanadu on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais.
With me, Steve Merchant.
See, it doesn't work if you say with me, Steve Merchant.
It doesn't work.
I've either got to say with me, or you just go with Steve Merchant.
Sure.
See what I mean?
Okay.
It's not as easy, is it?
No, it's not.
No.
It's not as easy as it seems.
You know this, right? I mean.
What?
The radio show.
Oh, yeah.
We do, right? Well, we just come in and we don't plan them, we just sort of like chat. And they still pay us, it seems quite normal. Should we just do this all day?
What, all day on XFM or?
Or just get a license where it is just, it's Ricky and Steve FM, and we just chat, and we go, what are you doing there, Steve? Just having breakfast. You go, all right,
yeah.
Oh, what are you doing there, Steve? I'll just clean the windows, isn't it? And we have a little chat, and we go, just reading the paper. And we just talk, and we play records.
For 24 hours a day?
Yeah.
I mean, have you spotted any flaws in that plan, or?
It would be boring after about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm.
I mean, this is boring now.
No,
and we've only done 20 minutes.
No, it's just, we were talking about Carl having a thought, remember?
Yes.
And then I had that thought when I went out to get some orange juice, and I had that thought. So maybe this show could be about, let's have thoughts.
Okay.
So we have thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay, or they could, if we haven't got any, they could phone in with some.
Okay, or email a thought, maybe, if you've got a thought. Email that in.
Just thought we could talk about
Gervais at xfm.co.uk. It could be a thought about anything.
Can
we not make those thoughts racist or homophobic, though, please?
Yeah. Or, not downers.
No, nothing that's going to bring us down, you know?
Yeah.
Upbeat stuff.
Yeah. Go on, Carl, you were going
to... Do you know when you said 24 hours then?
Yeah.
Do you know how much it takes to run one of the escalators on the underground for 20 hours a day? How much it costs a year to do that?
To run it how long? 20 hours a day?
Yeah, that's what it runs. The
is this another of your facts?
Mm-hmm.
These are always substantiated by an independent source, aren't they? They're not just something you overheard on a bus. Am I just to check? This is fact.
I read it. I read it. When,
in, did you read it on a wall in a sandwich shop?
Sometimes I wish this was on telly, because when Steve said, this, you have these substantiated by an independent arbitrator, Carl just looked at him.
Yeah.
Like he'd just spoken French. He just looked like that. It just did.
Okay, so anyway, this information you've got from a reliable source, you read it on the back of a fag packet or something?
No, I think it was in the Metro magazine in the week.
Lovely. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So here's the, what's, and let's just hear it again. How much does it cost?
Yeah, there's loads of escalators, isn't there, on the underground?
Yes.
And they run for 20 hours a day.
Yes. Don't tell us how. Tell you what, Carl, that's such a fascinating fact. Don't tell us. Let's play a record, Rick.
Okay.
And then people can stay tuned if they want to hear how much it costs.
This is like some sort of mental home radio.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, we're not mentally ill. We haven't, you know, I haven't had any head trauma. We're educated people.
Yeah.
But we come out with just rubbish.
Gobbledygook.
Just nonsense. It's like, I can't grasp. I don't know why he started saying. I've no idea what that thought
you just
was.
Said, you just said 24 hours about doing radio for 24 hours. So I remember. I thought, oh, 20 hours.
Oh God!
So we're now examining the thought processes that we all have
before we
get something. Let's just hear a story.
Okay, right. It's 1:30, and that film sounds good. Ooh, that film sounds
feature,
good.
Feature.
This is where I choose a song from a film that. Oh, that film sounds good. See. This is a film that me and Steve both love, and he saw it first and got me onto it and said I'd love it, and I did. It was Rushmore. It was a great film, and from it features one of my favourite artists of all time, The Wind by Cat Stevens, and this is off the first album I ever bought from Teaser and the Firecat. This is The Wind from Rushmore. That film sounds good.
Feature, exhibit.
Cat Stevens, The Wind.
Elegant.
A beautiful song. The album is a superb album. It's seminal. It's just has some great songs on there. I feel like playing another one, maybe Song for the Lovers.
Maybe do it later, yeah.
Maybe I could do that, yeah. It's beautiful.
I have to say, I've seen the follow-up to Rushmore. If you enjoy Rushmore, it's this new film, The Royal Tenenbaums, with amazing cast. Ben Stiller's in it, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Gene Hackman in his Golden Globe-winning performance.
Oh, yeah.
Same sort of thing as Rushmore, same kind of style, but lovely sort of kind of family comedy. Absolute dynamite, and again, a brilliant soundtrack. Nico is on there, Nick Drake, all kinds of treats. Forthcoming in the cinemas, Rick.
You say the follow-up, is it the...
It's
same
not a
director.
Sequel. It's the same director, same writer,
right.
Some of the same cast. Bill Murray makes another appearance.
Isn't
same style.
Haven't the Swingers lot done another one?
They have. Their new film's Made, with the same Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn. Again, dynamite, really good fun. Not as kind of perceptive as Swingers, but certainly as much fun.
Have you seen Swingers, Carl?
I think so. Is it the one where they've got a line in it, they've got a catchphrase in it, haven't they?
You're the money?
You're money.
No.
You're so money.
That's it, yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I said, you're the money, he went, no. You went, you're so the money, he went, yeah.
Well, yours is from, what's his name?
Yeah, Jerry Maguire.
No,
yeah.
That's Show Me the Money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen it.
Anyway.
See, that was really articulate. We had, we did a feature, it linked into film, Steve Love Films, did a little, off-the-cuff review, then it went into gobbledygook again.
Yeah.
I can't even say it.
You couldn't even say the word gobbledygook.
It's, yeah.
Anyway, listen, you had an interesting fact you were going to give us, Carl. I don't think we can leave people waiting for this any longer.
No.
Right. how much does it cost to run one escalator, that's just one,
yeah,
on a London Underground? It's running 20 hours a day because it shuts for 4 hours in the night when they're cleaning up and that.
Yep. Yeah.
How much does it cost to run it for a year?
£12.
£60,000.
The trouble with these facts is I've got nothing to compare it against.
Well, think about, like, your yearly electric bill at home.
Well, when you put it like that, when you can...
It's a lot, isn't it? When you think they could just use stairs.
Carl, play a song. Politics on XFM 104.9. Please, people, just use the stairs.
Chemical Brothers, Star Guitar. I'm going to be honest, Steve. I like the video more than the song.
Agreed.
Good.
Yeah.
I just wish we could maybe tape the bits we're not on air, just because that's when Carl comes into his own.
Yeah.
He just said to me, I don't know what I was doing, I was sort of like pottering around, dancing around, doing something annoying probably, and he just looked at me, I looked around, he was looking at me, and I looked back, and he went, have you ever used a Y front properly?
Genius.
It's a great question, because the answer is definitely no.
Definitely no.
Does anyone use their Wi-Fi front properly? And by that, I mean get your Winky out of the little sort of slot provided, as opposed to, like, put it to one side or pull them down or whatever. Has anyone used a Wi-Fi front properly?
I don't think I've ever done it.
I don't think I've ever done it.
I've never seen anyone in a toilet doing it, Rick.
You should be looking.
I wish I hadn't said that.
I caught you. Really?
Yeah. That's actually how you prove people are gay.
Yeah.
You get them into this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a trap.
Yeah, it's a trap.
It was the trap.
Yeah. I'm not gay, by the way.
Yeah.
You didn't prove I was gay. I double bluffed you. Because I knew the old gay trick.
I thought it was the old gay lord say no thing.
That is another method. Yeah, there's innumerable methods of doing it.
That's how Oscar Wilde was caught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Well, the judge went to him. Did you see that film last night? Gay lord say no, and he went no, and they went take him away.
Yeah. Take him down to the cells.
Yeah, take him to Reading.
It is true.
Well,
it originated in America.
Yeah.
So many of these things do. It's a brilliant point, Carl. I'd like to hear from anyone. Anyone listening who's... And, I mean, well, they'll just lie, wouldn't they, I suppose?
Yeah. I don't even use sort of flies.
No?
Usually. I just sort of pull my Wi-Fi front, my sort of tracksuit. Yeah. That's why I wear sort of, like, elasticated waistband all the time.
Just sort of speed.
Yeah.
You've got to get in there with the minimum of effort.
Yeah. We and out.
Sure, sure.
Often I won't shake.
No, well, no.
To my detriment, because it often leaks out a little bit later, doesn't it?
Ever been out on a date with a girl where it's just trickled down your leg and you wish it hadn't, and you're thinking, what if she gets my trousers off later? She might smell or see it.
What? Like what?
I don't know. I don't know what I said there.
Right.
Rick, I had for Christmas something which I think might excite you and interest you, because I know you're obsessed and interested by facts.
Yeah.
Don't fiddle with the microphone.
Well, I was just looking at what it was underneath it.
Stop, listen to what I'm saying.
I know, no, listen, let me explain.
People could hear you moving the microphone.
Could they?
Yeah, I can hear it in my headphones.
You know, it's the little pop shield that goes over the mic. Yeah. I was going to see what way the mic was facing, so I just had a look.
Who cares? No one's interested. Leave it. Carl, I'll tell you if it's a problem.
All right.
Why am I talking like that? So this is a book, it's just facts and trivia. It's edited by Sir Isaac Asimov, who I think's dead. So I don't know when my parents bought this book. I assume it's from a second-hand shop or something.
Right.
It's quite long, but I got it for Christmas. I keep meaning to bring it in, because there are... Generally, the facts are quite sensible in here. And I like to think if Isaac's been involved, they're probably substantiated. It's not, like, kind of just this nonsense on the web.
I think
that this is probably...
Or up in Greg's The Baker's that Carl gets most of his facts from.
The ancient Egyptians trained baboons to wait on tables. Carl, fascinated...
Brilliant.
That's fantastic.
But what my point about that is, why did they stop?
Yeah.
It's a genius idea. Would you not want to go to a restaurant where they have baboons serving?
No, I'll tell you what happened. It might have been like the Planet of the Apes and they sort of rebelled. One of them could talk. One of them could take his order. And one day they went, do you want fries with that? And the bloke got really annoyed and said they're answering back. And then there was some sort of rebellion.
Right.
The Planet of the Apes isn't true, is it?
It's not documentary.
Right, okay.
I wonder, because what I like the idea of having baboons is the fact that I reckon they're... Like, I have difficulty, and I'm sure you do, Carl, like, working out that sort of 10%, you know, on a bill.
Yeah.
I reckon baboons would find that particularly hard. I reckon you could get away with under-tipping them all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Just not leaving enough and just legging it. Exactly.
They go away and you go, sucker.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd love to see some baboon restaurants. If there's any restaurateurs out there, someone.
If you do go to a restaurant and you've been waiting on those, please don't order the banana daiquiri, because it comes half-eaten. They can't help their little selves. They really can't. They're okay with, like, you know... beef and steak and chips and all that. But there's a little bit, I go, do you want...
Can you imagine that, though? Baboons serving at waiting tables. It's genius. Just stop to think about that. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely dynamite.
Yeah.
See, zoos would be a lot more popular if there was, like, the canteen. You could go...
If they were serving tickets to two? Exactly. One child row. Okay, go through there.
But I think they should do other things, like in the Flintstones, they used to mix cement in that bird's kind of...
Pelican, yeah.
We should start doing that again. That also happened in ancient times.
Yeah, exactly.
According to the Flintstones.
Before they had proper cement mixers, that's what they did.
That was how they did it.
Definitely,
Just animal facts. I remembered one in the week.
Go on.
There was, do you know them two gay American men who have tigers?
Well, they're not necessarily gay, are they?
No one actually knows if they are gay or not.
They are.
All right.
Okay, well, yeah. Gilbert and George, is it? No, that's those artists. They're called Siegfried and Roy.
But anyway...
Who may or may not be gay.
Yeah. And if they are, so what?
And if they are, so what? But if they're not, and they don't...
I just said that, so you knew what I was talking about. Cause
sure.
Okay, the two gay ones, those go on.
Two possibly gay ones.
Yeah, let's not worry about libel law anymore, then.
If you shave a tiger's head...
whoa. Whoa. Well, okay. You've got to treat that sentence with a lot more reverence than you did. Think what you're saying. If you shave a tiger's head...
Not just its head, its whole body. If
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, yeah.
So I thought you were getting weird. Go on, yeah. If you shave a tiger, yeah, go on.
It's still stripy underneath. The skin. The skin's...
Is it like rock?
It goes all the way through.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Where did you hear that one?
I remembered that. Like, was
that a drunk just shouting it in the street?
I shaved a tiger and it's still stripy. Get out of here. Yeah. Yeah.
I must make a note of that thing's car.
Yeah, that's an interesting fact. Well, you know a polar bear? Come on. Polar bear's skin is actually black, and its fur is transparent, not white, and it gives the illusion. So it gets all the radiation possible from the sun, but it's still camouflaged.
I don't understand that, Rick. Sorry, you lost me. If its skin's black...
A polar bear's skin is black.
And its fur is translucent.
And its fur is translucent.
So why is it white when we see
it? Well, it's just because the light... hits it and
the sun reflects on
it and it makes it look white. Yeah, so if you look at each individual hair, it's actually translucent.
So at night, it would be black.
Well, everything is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, not bright stuff, Rick. You've embarrassed yourself. Play a record. Oh, I know all about animals and stuff. Do you, Rick?
P.O.D. Bit of pod there. Alive. That's growing on me.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It rocks. I mean, we've got to give it that.
I will certainly give it that, Rick.
Yeah, XFM 104.9. Ricky Gervais.
With me, Steve Merchant. So more from the facts and trivia book. Edited, as I say, by Sir Isaac Asimov. So not just overheard on the tube or by a drunk.
Well, he might have overheard him on a tube by a drunk. And just put him in a book.
Yes. Listen to the whole... fact here before you make any judgments.
Okay.
Sauerkraut was renamed Liberty Cabbage by Americans during World War I.
Sure.
In their denunciation of all things German, some Americans actually kicked Datsuns.
Are they little dogs?
Yeah. Little German dogs, just give them a kicking. Because they were German. Or they were derived from Germany. I don't know if they got to, like, a small sort of French village and just said, bring out your Dachshunds. What are you going to do to them? Nothing. Give them a little bit of food or something. You're not going to kick them, are you?
Got
no, because I've heard about you Americans.
No. Just bring out that little sausage dog. You say it aggressively.
You said that aggressively. Like,
well, no. Bring out the little sausage dog. Okay.
Well, you're not going to hurt it, though.
Of course I'm not.
If you hurt it now, it's like it's against the Geneva Convention.
I'm not going to kick it.
Well, I didn't even bring up kicking. I didn't even mention kicking, so why have you done that? That's,
I don't know.
I haven't got a Datsun. Sacre bleu.
Yeah. Sorry.
That thing down my trousers is just a baguette.
Yeah. Do you remember that, Carl? Do you remember
dynamite
that?
Fact. A
dynamite baguettes
fact.
Were invented by Napoleon so he could carry them down his leg.
Which is fun. There's one more here that I thought might... I know that there's a lot of those kind of amusing laws and stuff, antiquated laws and that on the web and things. But again, it's Asimov. I'm thinking it's true. City Ordinance Number 352 in Pacific Grove, California, makes it a misdemeanor to kill or threaten a butterfly.
Threaten?
Yeah, you can't even threaten a butterfly.
So if it goes...
Don't even look at it aggressively.
Yeah, butterfly comes down, I go, what are you looking at? I go, nothing.
Yeah.
And he goes, judge! What?
Yeah.
Bloke looking at me with a net.
I wasn't doing anything,
I'm fishing.
But the thing about that is, a lot of the kind of, sort of the wilder butterflies from the wrong side of the tracks, they're just going to take advantage of it. They're going to cruise around, they're going to be playing loud music, abusing old people. They're untouchable.
And they're going to go, have you got a problem with that?
Exactly.
You're going to go, no.
No, it's fine. Go about your business.
No.
Butterflies there, Rick, in California, running amok.
Yeah.
Should repeal it.
Yeah.
No, then, there's another one that I think you'll be a fan of. Oh, it might take me a while to find it. Maybe we should play a track.
Oh, wow, that says this nicely. That's a lovely link. That thing about you said about playing a track.
Keep going.
This is Song for the Lovers, and I've chosen a great track here by Lloyd Cole, oft forgotten, but a great singer-songwriter. And this is one of his best songs, I think. In fact, I think Sandy Shaw covered it in the mid-'80s when she had a little bit of that resurgence. It's Are You Ready to Be Heartbroken? And it's a Song for the Lovers. Lovely tune. Enjoy. Are You Ready to Be Heartbroken? Lloyd Cole with his Commotions. That was done with, and I love it.
Beautiful.
Cheers.
Facts and trivia, the last one, Rick.
Go on.
This is a sobering lesson for us all.
Go on.
At the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo in 1901,
yeah.
President William McKinley received a line of citizens, shaking hands with each. In the line was a man with a handkerchief covering one hand. Neither of the two Secret Service men guarding the president was curious enough to take a look at what might be under the handkerchief in the hand of the man, Leon Golzgolz, an anarchist. Yeah. What he had was a loaded revolver, and when the president thrust his right hand out for the shake, Zolgozd fired twice. McKinley died a week later.
So, what he did there, it was outwit the might of presumably the FBI or the Secret Service by covering the gun with a handkerchief.
Clever.
That's brilliant.
It's absolute genius.
Just think how they had to explain that. And they go, how did he get close enough and shoot the president? And they go, we didn't see the gun. Why? Covered it with a hanky, did he? Oh, well, you're not to blame then. Exactly. We can't compete with that sort of, you know, didn't you think to look under the hanky?
No.
Well, just thought it was a hand. Of course, because that's where the hand would be. Did you not think he was probably holding a gun or something? Didn't do that. We didn't train. We didn't do hiding it with a hanky, did we? All right, if he didn't do it, then it's not your fault. Don't worry about it. But he lived, did he, for a week?
The president lived with it for
that's,
a week, yeah.
That's because they had to go to him and they were probably shuffling around his bed going, sorry about that. Why don't you look? I had a hanky, did he? Oh, well, they're now in jail. Well, they were. Go on. Well, when we went into the jail to give them some bread and water, he had a hanky over his hand.
Right, yeah.
We thought nothing of it.
Sure.
And it was a gun? Yeah. It was a gun and he got out. See? Do you remember the last... Remember the gun? Yeah. That's terrible, isn't
it? It's pathetic. No one's used that method since. I know. Because it was effective there, but you don't hear about that now.
No.
People using all kinds of elaborate methods to assassinate people, poisoning their wine.
Yeah.
I think that was Rasputin. As I recall, they put some poison into his wine.
Well, I didn't
study it in history class. That's my memory of
but
it.
But if only I listened to Carl last week, chink the glasses.
Always chink the glasses.
That shows that they used to test it, didn't they? Yeah. Pour a little bit from yours into mine. That means I'm not poisoning you.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking of murdering someone, you know, a dignitary.
With a gun.
Yeah, but let's
pop
say
a hanky over it.
Just think about that.
Just pop a hanky over
I don't know. Pop it inside an oven glove. And just wear that as you go do it with their hands.
Or sooty.
Or one of those big gladiator-style pointing foam hands that you used to have on gladiators.
Yeah.
That'd be genius.
Yeah.
I'm just using this because I love the president.
No gun in there, is there? No.
It's just a big finger.
Check if you want.
Yeah.
Well, no, we won't then if you said check. Right. That's unlucky.
Have I ever told you my method, Carl, my genius method of assassinating someone? This is brilliant. This is the ultimate crime.
Oh,
is this the ice cube one?
Have I told it to you before?
No, but I know that.
What's that the ice cube one?
When you,
shoot an ice bullet.
You get someone round.
Rick, don't say it, don't reveal it, because it's my story to tell.
Oh, blabbing there's it two. Out. I know two of them.
Well, listen, let me tell you it and see if this is the one, right? This is genius. Right, you rent a room across the street from the person you want to kill, right? Yeah. And then when their windows open one day, right, what you do is, what you've done is you've made an arrow from ice. Okay, and then what you do is you train like to become a brilliant marksman with a bow and arrow.
It's an old one.
It is brilliant, but this is why it's classic. And then you shoot them with the arrow. It goes across the street into their heart, kills them instantly. But what's brilliant is the arrow, the murder weapon. It then melts, dries out. There's no murder weapon, and then you can take apart the bow.
Another one, Steve, is to stab them, then take it out and walk away.
No,
no murder weapon.
No, but there's no, but you've got to get into the building. This is the point, you're across the street.
Right.
You know, the only thing that could get you is if someone saw you shooting an arrow.
What about an arrow on a string?
Arrow on a string? What are you talking about? No, not an arrow on a string, because that's not going to work. What if the string broke as you were trying to loot?
Good point.
No,
the ice arrow is the only way. The ice arrow is the only perfect method of assassination.
That was on Columbo.
Was it?
But there's another one. Do you know, like I was saying about the,
the murder weapon's irrelevant, Steve.
What?
The fact that it's a murder weapon is irrelevant.
No, because there's fingerprints on it and stuff.
You're having a laugh, Rick. I defy you to win.
There's
to
no
win
fingerprints on a bullet when it goes through your head at 12,000
miles an
hour.
Yeah, but they can trace it to the same gun, can't they? They can figure that out.
Throw the gun away.
No, but they'll find the gun. They always find the gun.
Burn
I've
it.
Seen it. No, you can't burn a gun. Rick, my point is...
Melt it.
No, the point is it's fingerprints and stuff.
Well, no, wipe it.
Ricky, never
wear gloves.
Kill someone.
Wear gloves.
They'll catch up with you.
They'll always catch up
will
with you.
Will they? Oh, I won't then.
The ice arrow is the only way.
No, the ice arrow
I
is
bet
the
that
only...
was the one case that Columbo didn't solve.
That's one of them. The other one is, do you know what I was saying the other week about the drinks and you chink your glasses and stuff?
Yeah.
A way around that, put the poison in the ice cube. You quickly have a swig before it's melted.
Before it's
and they'll
melted.
Go, that's all right, I can drink that, it's not dangerous. Just say, oh, I'm going to want to show you some pictures or something. Let the ice cube melt, the poison goes in the drink, you say, oh, knock that back.
Yeah.
You look thirsty, they'll have it, they'll die.
Genius.
That is good.
Carl, you and I, man, we're like criminal masterminds.
Yeah. What happens when they find the poison in the body and go, well, he was at Carl's house drinking, it might have been...
You'd have legged it.
Oh, yeah.
He'd have been off with his missus and, like, £30,000 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
So that's perfect as well, is
that
it?
That is the perfect crime,
Rick. So, hold on, are all perfect crimes to do with ice?
Pretty much.
Hmm. Roots, Manoeuvre, Witness. We were talking earlier about people who use Americanisms, like they've used it all their life, and it's our pet hate, isn't it, really?
Oh.
Like, just people who say, DJ, you know, the risk of sounding a little bit, you know, butt-licky.
Butt-licky?
What's that?
Never heard that.
Butt. Don't say butt.
Yeah. I heard someone say, he was on my ass.
Oh.
He was on my ass.
Yeah.
I've never, what? I'll tell you what almost annoys me almost as much as that. There was a guy I used to know who'd pretend, and this guy was like, he'd never done anything wrong in his life. He had no street cred whatsoever. And I was driving along with him once, back from somewhere, and a police car just pulled out and was just following us along the road, because police cars sometimes do. Not following us, just happened to be driving in the same direction. And he went, hey, up the pigs, watch it. like what? I was supposed to think, what, you've done some crime?
Yeah.
You're part of Grand Theft Auto 3, and I better be careful, because you've got some knocked out, off gear in the back.
Yeah.
And watch it, it's the bloody pigs.
Or a dead
just play it cool, play it
a
cool.
A made man that you've just killed in the boot.
Nonsense. And I'm just so annoyed with that, kind of pretending to have street cred.
I know, I remember once, right, an American came to our school, and we were all about 13 or 14, and he was like, you had to be his friend. And it was like, people vying for his attention, because he was sort of like this cool American bloke, right? And, he was like, good at sports, straight, he's always, you know, it's just great. And, I remember someone saying, like, tube, toothpaste, and he laughed, said, tube. And I go, well, what is it? They said, it's tube, right? And people go, no, it's tube, right? And they go, it's tube, right? And I went, I say tube. He went, and they sort of looked at me, and they just thought, you liar. I said, no, I say, oh, let me think, I say tube. Oh.
When you're a kid, like, any American you ever meet is the coolest thing. It doesn't matter if it's a huge, fat bloke wearing Bermuda shorts and a camera on his neck. It's cool, because they speak with an American accent.
Well, that is cool.
And they say...
Being a huge, fat bloke in Bermuda shorts is cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's what you keep telling yourself.
Yeah.
I'm growing into that look, says Rick. 41.
The Canadian tourist look.
Absolutely. But no, so anything, you know, sidewalk.
Yeah.
I mean, if I could say, like, when I was sort of 14, if I could have said sidewalk, fender... You know, I always wanted to go into a sandwich shop and just order something on rye.
I want to be one of those 80-year-old sort of Yiddish blokes. Those old, you know, sort of like old vaudeville Jewish guys that you know they sit in diners and talk, you know, like Walter Matthau talks.
Right,
and
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I want to grow into that, a long coat and I go, ish.
Oy vey.
Yeah, maybe I'll start.
Yeah, well, convert to Judaism initially.
Yeah,
be your first port of call, and then just tour the vaudevillian. You know, circuit.
Yeah.
In the Catskills.
Or the mic, some kind of schmuck.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Carl, would you like to be American?
No, not at all.
Really?
Got on my nerves. When I was in,
Get on my nerves!
When
being
a
American.
Whole nation there. Just,
when I was in Barbados at Christmas.
Oh, name dropping.
Right? Yeah. There's loads of them there, because that's...
Was that when you were doing a bit of extra sort of waiting? your girlfriend was cleaning rooms, wasn't she?
Went there for Christmas, and there's loads of them there, because that's, like, really close to America. That's like Blackpool is to Manchester type.
It's exactly like that.
Yep.
So that's the analogy a lot of Americans use.
So,
but I think they call it the tropical Blackpool.
But they were going on...
That's only all the brochures, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah. And serious now, but we're going on about the September 11th thing.
Yeah.
But they call it the... of course, this is American... course,
brilliant.
The 9/11,
The 9/11.
That's what they call it.
Really? Oh, that's awful. That is, so it's like people who say 24/7.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Americans working my ass off 24/7.
Well, Americans that say that. Well, they're allowed, though.
Oh, Americans are. It's, yeah. I'm talking about an English person who might say it.
Yeah.
Fool. Yeah, no, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Do that American accent again.
Yeah, of course. The 9/11.
Where are you from?
What?
Which part of America is that?
That's how they sounded in Barbados.
Sure.
Right. Sure.
But Carl, can you do any other impressions?
But Carl doesn't. I very much doubt that Carl likes newfangled countries like America.
Yeah.
He doesn't like London.
No, true.
So he's not going
to. Have you been to America?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Went to Florida. No, they got me again.
Got on your nerves?
Yeah. Went for some food.
Yeah.
And it was the last few days. I didn't take much money with me, and we were in Florida, and we were hungry, and we went for some steak, and. We had our dinner and that, and I think it's their equivalent to the Angus Steakhouse.
Yeah.
And sat down, had the steak, and that's huge, big portions. But anyway, we didn't have much money left, and we had like another 2 days left, so we didn't leave. We didn't have much money for a tip. Do you know how over there they expect it?
Yeah, a big tip, yeah.
So we left what we could, and I don't know what it was. It might have only been the equivalent to 60 pence.
Yeah.
But he didn't have to do that much. We didn't have loads of courses because we didn't have much money, so he brought us like the main course, and I don't know, a couple of Diet Cokes. And anyway, left them the 60p.
Yeah.
On the way out, and he comes running over. Excuse me, sir, you can have this back. Because it wasn't enough. I mean...
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
What did you say?
I said, all right, then. Because I needed it. I mean, I thought it was nice to leave them something, but obviously it wasn't enough, so he got us a couple of more.
Is it good fun with you on holiday? I mean, do you enjoy yourself?
Yeah.
Do people go with you on holiday?
I get bored after about 4 days.
You surprise me.
What do you expect out of a holiday, Carl? What do you go
sort
for?
Of soak up some of the culture.
Yeah.
You liar. You liar.
What did you learn about Barbados while you were there?
A lot of crabs on the beach.
Ah! I just imagine him sitting there with his knotted hanky on his head. I like that.
Not bad.
Bit of Gary Newman there. That's Richard X and Sugar Babes. Are Freaks Electric?
Is that one of those things where they've taken one song and they've laid it over the top of the other?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's good, no?
No, it's good.
Right,
it's good.
Good.
Yeah, it's good. Classic.
Well, we're nearly done, aren't we?
We are almost finished. Which is a
couple of great tracks.
With a few laughs.
Maybe we've had a few laughs, haven't we?
Exactly.
I've perked up.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, you've lost it here a bit, though. You feel a bit, it sounds like you're a bit down again.
Well, that's just 2 hours work in one long stretch.
Yeah.
I reckon we could do a 3-hour show now.
No.
Skin of the teeth, sort of just.
Yeah, we barely got away with this.
Really?
This is beginning to fall apart now.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Oh.
But yeah, we've had a good time. We've had a few laughs, as I say.
I just think of Carl on the beach. He said he started winding the crabs up because he got bored.
Mm.
He started throwing sand at them. It's like a child's experiment.
When you were in California, you weren't aggravating butterflies, were you? Because, that's a misdemeanor.
Scary, though. The weather's really freaky.
Where?
In California.
Is it?
Yeah. In the day, it's dead nice. Come 6 o'clock, it goes black. And then the rain comes down. It's freaky.
Is that every single day, Carl, or was that just the week you were there?
Every day. I was there for about a week. It happened every day.
So as far as you're concerned, that happens all year round.
Yeah, good thing.
So what you're saying is if people are booking a holiday, they should be conscious of this, because it will always happen.
California tourism.
That's a fact.
I think it does.
But why did you start throwing sand at crabs, by the way?
Just because you get bored on the beach. You sat there, you look around, and then I saw these crabs, and I was watching the way they move around. And
what funny, innit?
Sort of to
did it annoy you, the way they moved?
No, I mean, it works for them.
Good of you.
But it was just what I was weighing up is they're quite close to the sea, so I was watching the sea come.
They like it close to the sea, don't they?
Yeah, but they don't like it too close.
No.
So, like, the sea was coming close to them, they'd run towards me.
Yeah.
So as the sea came in to them, I was chucking sand the other way, and it was like, ooh.
They didn't know what to do.
They didn't know where to go.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How long did that keep you occupied for?
The last 3 days I was there.
Have you ever seen, I don't know if I've described this before, do you remember a classic Paul Daniels episode where Paul is having tea with some baboons, I think? chimps, yeah. Full circle. And he's got a little box, and inside the box is a mirror. And he gives it to the chimp, and it looks in the box, and it's confused by its own reflection. It can't figure it out. So it's looking behind the box, trying to figure out, is there another monkey behind it?
Yeah.
Goes on like that. It's dazed and confused. It was there for weeks, just staring into it. I imagine you're a bit like that on the beach with the crabs.
Yeah, that's great.
I think that's my analogy.
Yeah.
Paul Daniel's chimps.
Yeah. I kept a crab once for a week when we went to Bognor. It was me, and my mum, and my nan in an...
Oh, party time. Oh, man, alive.
Look. You haven't lived until you've woken up to the sound at 3 o'clock in the morning of your nan having a wee in a tin bucket and echoing round a caravan.
Man alive.
Yeah. I was about 9.
You'd brought a chick back.
I was about 9, right? And I just kept a crab in a first day of
in the bucket?
In a... I don't know where it came from. No, I found it on the beach and I brought it back and I kept it in a little bowl in the sink. And then the last day, it started to smell a bit. And then the last day, my mum said, go and put it back. And I went and put it back. So I had a pet crab for a week.
And did it die? What happened to it?
No, it just got bored.
Sure.
It didn't do a lot.
Did it start throwing sand at you? Listen,
God.
I think we better play some music because we've got a few songs to squeeze in. I just wanted to play a track. I was watching MTV the other day and I was a bit confused.
Yeah, so was I like that.
Because I saw a video for the Electric Soft Parade's Silent to the Dark.
Yeah.
But it was called Silent to the Dark 2, but it was the same song. It sounds like they've redone it. The video is different to the old video. I was very confused. Hopefully someone will phone in and solve it for me. Anyway, this is the original Silent to the Dark. Still a good track. Let's hear it, Carl. Silent to the Dark, the debut single by the Electric Soft Parade.
I like that.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good choice there.
Apparently discovered by XFM, is that right, Carl?
Yeah, sent a tape into Claire Sturgis.
You see?
Big time now.
What did she do with it? Sold it.
Yeah.
Got a little £5 starter bag of Skag.
Exactly. Oh,
and the rest is history. Well, I've enjoyed myself.
I have.
But can I just say, we don't just, like, you know, muck around and do stupid things and play great music. We're also... informative, and I'm going to leave London with this tip that Carl, for no reason, just told me. Do you want to do it, Carl, or shall I tell him what you just said?
Rick, we haven't got much time, you better explain it.
Yeah, okay. If you got, he said, you've been on the Millennium Wheel. I went, no, he went, well, if you do, here's a tip. Go when there's lots of disabled people on there. And I was up for it, I went, why? He went, you get more for your money, because they have to keep stopping and letting them off. You get an extra 6 minutes. All right?
Good, solid advice if you're ready to go there today or tomorrow.
Yeah. Thanks.
Song for the ladies, Rick. I'll leave you with Lamb Chop. A lot of people aren't a fan of Lamb Chop for some reason. They don't like the way he sings, but this is a beautiful song.
That's the reason.
Up with people. See ya.
Bye.